From the Gospel according to Luke, following the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph present him in the temple. Verses 21 through 40 of the second chapter of Luke. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Amen. Our topic for the morning is carols as resistance literature. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I thought we'd have a little fun with a couple of familiar Christmas carols this morning. All of us are familiar with songs of emancipation. In this country, they are especially prevalent in the African-American experience. Spirituals like "Go Down Moses," you know, "Go Down Moses," "Way Down to Egypt Land," "Tell O Pharaoh, Let My People Go," "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen," all speak to the African-American cry for release from the chains of oppression. But whereas we're accustomed to spirituals such as these mentioned, containing that theme of emancipation and resistance, we don't really think about Christmas carols as containing this prophetic voice. Carols as resistance literature. Richard Beck points out a couple of well-known Christmas carols which stand out for their bold prophetic voice. The first we sang several weeks ago, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." If you were here that Sunday, perhaps you noticed, perhaps were even surprised by the prophetic power of the third verse. "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the heavenly hymn have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And we at war on earth hear not the tidings that they bring. Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife to hear the angels sing." It's a stunning image. Earlier in the carol, angels appear above the shepherds and declare the birth of the Christ child with this refrain, "Peace on the earth, goodwill to all, from heaven's all-gracious King." And yet, as it came upon the midnight clear recounts, since that angelic declaration of peace, there have been 2,000 years of wrong. Why? Because we at war on earth do not hear this angelic song. We don't hear the love song. And so the call continues to go out almost as a reprimand. Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife to hear the angels sing. The second carol we consider, though not in the hymnal, is a familiar one to all of us, I am sure, O Holy Night, Cantique de Noël in the original French. The tune was composed in 1847 by Adolphe Adam, with the text coming from a poem written that same year titled Minuit Chrétien by Frenchman Placide Capot, who had been asked by a parish priest to write a Christmas poem. Written during a time of turmoil in France, which is not surprising in and of itself because France always seems to experience turmoil, the poem was adapted in 1855 by Boston-born Unitarian minister John Sullivan Dwight, who created a singing English edition based on Capot's French text, and it's this edition with which we are familiar today. 1855. Think about what was going on in this country during those years. We were close to entering a civil war which would claim more than 600,000 American lives. And look at the words to the third stanza in the context of the Civil War with its underlying conflict about states' rights involving slavery. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Powerful themes of emancipation. Christ sees a brother where there was only a slave. Love unites those that iron had chained. People stand up, sing of your deliverance. Those are some pretty powerful lyrics. More, these were political and prophetic lyrics. Recall, the song and French poem were written in 1847. The English version was written in 1855, 6 years before the American Civil War and 8 years before the Emancipation Proclamation. O Holy Night, it turns out, was a song of political resistance and protest. Imagine Americans singing in the years leading up to the Civil War the lyrics, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." O Holy Night as political protest, a Christmas carol as resistance literature. But when you think about it, this is as it should be. Advent and Christmas stand as a call to Christian anarchism. The proclamation of the King of Kings with the coming of the Christ child, the principalities and powers have been put on notice. There's a reason the powers tried to kill the baby. There are reasons a young pregnant peasant girl once sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty. He has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent empty away." You see, the coming of Jesus meant a revolution of love wherein the typical order of human power and authority was put on notice. In Jesus, what reigns is servanthood, not authority, compassion, not coercion, humility, not pride, love, not hate. Jesus is all about speaking truth to the corridors of power. And the corridors of power did not like his truth, his message. Indeed, even as a child, he was perceived to be a threat with the powerful King Herod seeking to destroy him. But that's a message for next week. Friends, this is revolutionary stuff, as much now as it was then. And this theme resides in places you may least expect it, even a few well-loved Christmas carols.